your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hockey fans, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show. As always, glad to be bringing you three conversations with great hosts from across our network about some of the biggest stories going on in the league today. On today's show, we've got, first up, Trey Matthews, host of Locked On Devils, as he talks about winning the Dougie Hamilton sweepstakes. We've also got Ian McLaren, host of Locked On Bruins, to let us know what the impact is of David Krejci deciding to return to his home country and forego another season here in the NHL, as well as what is going on with Tuukka Rask. And we close today's show with the losers of the Dougie Hamilton sweepstakes. That is the Carolina Hurricanes. We've got Jared Ellis, host of Locked On Hurricanes, here to walk us through the Hurricanes' perplexing moves in free agency. So let's start things out right now by heading to New Jersey and Trey Matthews of Locked On Devils. One of the biggest questions about free agency was who was going to land Dougie Hamilton, and that answer became clear pretty quickly. The answer is the New Jersey Devils. So here on today's show, I've got Trey Matthews, host of Locked On Devils, here to talk about their biggest free agent acquisition and all the ways the Devils are getting ready for next season. So Trey, welcome to the show. How are you feeling about Dougie Hamilton?
Oh, man, how am I feeling about Dougie Hamilton? Well, teach me how to Dougie, because we signed him to a seven-year deal north of $60 million, and this is going to be a huge addition to our blue line, because Dougie Hamilton, not only was he a finalist for the Norris Trophy, he also puts up very good offensive numbers as well. It's been a while since the New Jersey Devils have had that kind of player with those calibers that I just listed on their respective roster. So Tom Fitzgerald, he did an excellent job. He made a splash signing. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that this is a very long contract. And, you know, I'll admit on my show, I usually admit saying that that I don't really like big contracts. But in this case, I think this is an exception, because New Jersey Devils, we need, you know, just some leverage in terms of just rebuilding and also being prepared for the playoffs, because, you know, we're still trying to build for the future, but at the same time, we have that centerpiece, we have that glue piece to rebuild around. And I think our defense now has a lot more depth to deal with, because, you know, now we got Dougie Hamilton, a 2020 All-Star, Norris Trophy finalist, like I just mentioned. Obviously, he didn't win it. Adam Fox won it. But still, you know, just the fact that he was in the running not too long ago. And also his Corsi percentage is, I believe, at 57%. So I believe an elite Corsi is anywhere from 50 to 55%. So he's above that statistic. So, you know, the fact that we have a lot of young guys to look forward to, and the fact that now we have Dougie Hamilton, and hopefully he could be everything that we thought PK Subban was going to be a couple of years ago.
So where does, obviously he's probably going to slot in as your top defenseman. Where does this leave everyone else? How does this reshuffle New Jersey's defense?
Well, now we actually know who's going to be on the top line. So obviously we traded for Ryan Graves a couple weeks ago. We gave up Mikhail Maltsev. So I believe it's either going to be Hamilton or Graves on the top line, or it could be Hamilton and Ty Smith. Ty Smith won or was a part of all rookie team this past season. And also he finished in the top 10 of the Calder Memorial Trophy race. So you know, this just gives us more depth. So obviously now we can put PK Subban on the second or third line in terms of defensive pairings. And you know what? That's actually pretty solid. So now we got Dougie Hamilton. We got Damon Severson, one of our alternate captains. We got PK Subban. We got an up-and-coming player in Ryan Graves, who's actually a very good shot suppressor and was an AHL All-Star a couple of years ago. So you know that he has a lot of potential, a lot of room to grow, and he's fantastic in the penalty kill, and his 5-on-5 numbers were also excellent. And then for Luke Hughes, who we just drafted, the younger brother of Jack Hughes, you know, that's also something to look forward to. Obviously, it'll take a while before Luke Hughes joins the New Jersey Devils organization. So, yeah, just having Dougie Hamilton just makes our defense exciting, if that makes any sense, because I've been complaining about defense for the New Jersey Devils for the longest, and any religious listener of my show knows that. So, you know, just having Dougie Hamilton on the roster really shapeshifts the direction that we could potentially go in.
You also sort of revamped the goaltender position by bringing in Jonathan Bernier, who had a okay season with Detroit, but also he was with Detroit. So I don't, you know, doesn't necessarily mean anything. What's the picture look like in net for the Devils now that they have an experienced veteran goalie who they have brought in?
So Jonathan Bernier, hopefully he doesn't pull a Corey Crawford. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's not going to pull a Corey Crawford. So I don't know when this episode is going to go live, but you know, he's going to be turning 33 soon. And you should know a thing or two about Jonathan Bernier, Miss Locked On Kings, because he is a former champion at the expense of the New Jersey Devils, though.
Yep.
But, you know,
yep.
but, you know, just having him just hopefully he is everything that we wanted Corey Crawford to be. So, you know, at the same time, you did mention that saying, like, you know, he had okay numbers for the Detroit Red Wings. But at the same time, Detroit Red Wings, their defensive percentage was below league average, and same with the New Jersey Devils. But I think, unlike the Red Wings, I don't know what moves they've made, but you know, we've improved our defense with Ryan Graves and also Dougie Hamilton. So it's just like, I think if Jonathan Bernier is ever in net, then, you know, I think he'll have good backup, and overall I expect much better numbers. And I did clown on Jonathan Bernier a few episodes because I really thought, you know, I was like, well, what are the Hurricanes doing? You just traded your second runner-up in the Calder Memorial Trophy race for a guy who thought Nelson Mandela was a very good hockey player. So a year after his passing, might I add. So that's just beyond naiveness. So, but at the end of the day, let's focus on the side of hockey. So Jonathan Bernier, very solid goaltender. He puts up actually pretty decent numbers. His worst year was with the lowly Detroit Red Wings a few years ago. And he's proven that he can be a caliber starter during his tenure with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And let's see what else. Like I said, former champion and overall solid numbers, which is what we're looking for. We're looking for people who have potential to be great. So I think with Jonathan Bernier, I'm excited to see what he could potentially do for the New Jersey Devils. And I don't think a lot of people knew this, but he only took a phone call to legendary goaltender Marty Brodeur to convince Bernier to come to the New Jersey Devils. So all in all, you know, without Marty Brodeur assisting in that regards, I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, I feel like if you're a goalie and Marty Brodeur calls you, you just say yes. Whatever it is he wants, you're just like, yes, I'm in.
You hit the nail right on the head. So I'm excited to see what Bernier and Hamilton can do. And, you know, we killed two birds with one stone. We got a better defenseman, and we also got our backup goaltender, because that was a huge issue, because we were relying on Scott Wedgwood and Aaron Dell to be our backup goaltenders. And people know that I like Scott Wedgwood, but at the same time, he's just not ready to be a backup goaltender, and nor do I think he ever will be. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like, I think we got our guys right now. So I'm happy that Tom Fitzgerald has done what he's done. And if he could get a top six winger or a top six forward, look out for New Jersey to be the dark horse out in the East.
I love it. I love the bold prediction. Well, congrats to you guys for getting the Dougie Hamilton sweepstakes. And it sure looks like it's going to be an exciting season in New Jersey. For people who want to hear more from you and want to keep up on what is going on with the Devils, where can they find you and your show online?
Well, you can find wherever you get your podcast from. It's kind of a little bit of a tricky time because I'm on vacation as we speak, so I can't post any new episodes this week. But just find it wherever you get your podcast, and also just follow me on TreyMatt4 or Locked On Devils, or for right now it's called Locked On Dougie Hamilton.
All right, thank you so much, and good luck in the rest of the offseason. We are looking at the Boston Bruins coming up right after this. First, though, let's talk about betonline.ag, because if you are someone who is into sports betting, well, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. It doesn't matter what sport it is you're into. Baseball is in full swing. We've got hockey gearing up for next season. We have basketball and football and all sorts of stuff getting ready to figure out what is happening next with them. So whatever the sport is, you can get all the latest news, odds, and information for all of your sporting needs. Head on over to betonline.ag on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, get details on sign-up bonuses, contests, and much more. So get into the game. Head over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Boston Bruins got their business out of the way early by signing Taylor Hall to a new contract. So he is going to be staying with the Bruins, looking for that elusive Stanley Cup. Here to talk about Taylor Hall and everything else that's going on with the Bruins, we've got Ian McLaren, host of Locked on Bruins. So the Taylor Hall thing happened a little bit ago, but what's your feelings on that? Are you happy with the deal that he got and the fact that he's staying with Boston?
Very happy. Yeah, that was something that was expected to be announced, you know, shortly after the expansion draft. He was a UFA, so he didn't have to be protected. And then once that process came and went, then it was quickly announced that he was sticking around for 4 years at $6 million per year, which is kind of in line with where he ranks among the forwards with the Bruins. And yeah, super happy that he was able to get a deal done and that he'll be around for a few more years. He really did fit in well with the Bruins, and he'll be a big part of any success that they have here in the next few years for sure.
I know one of the big things that Boston was really waiting to see, you know, how it was going to impact the rest of their lineup was what decision David Krejci made about returning to the NHL. I know there was talk initially that he was going to re-sign, but the ultimate decision is that he is going to return back to his country and play in front of his friends and family to end his career, which is a respectable decision from a longtime favorite for the Bruins. What can you tell us about what he's meant to this Boston team, and how hard is it going to be to replace him or to fill his shoes in the coming seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I'd argue that he's pretty much irreplaceable. He's been as, maybe not as important as anybody else during this run of success, but they wouldn't have achieved it without him for sure. It's been a huge luxury for the Bruins to have Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci as their, you know, number one and number two centers. Krejci would have been a number one on many teams around the NHL. He's been here since the beginning of this kind of rise to prominence for this core. He was drafted by the team. He ranks in the top 10 in every major category in franchise history. And it wasn't just offensively, but also defensively. He really contributed at both ends of the ice. And, you know, he won a cup in 2011. He arguably would have been the Conn Smythe winner in 2013 if the Bruins had been able to beat the Blackhawks. And then he was instrumental, of course, in getting the team back to the final in 2019. And yeah, just behind Bergeron, arguably, yeah, like I said, just as important or as integral a member of the core as anybody else over the last decade or so. So in terms of replacing him, yeah, I mean, it's virtually impossible to do so. At the moment, Don Sweeney has said they're going to kind of do it by committee. They have Charlie Coyle in the mix, who's kind of making second line center money. Whether he's able to step into that role remains to be seen. He had a very down year last season, but he was playing on an injured knee that has been repaired here in the off season. So I would assume that he'll get the first crack at the job there, but I would assume that they'll also be looking at kind of some other internal candidates, as well as maybe looking externally if that hole is too big to fill, kind of with guys that are already on the roster.
I know the Bruins made some other moves in free agency, including bringing Nick Foligno to Boston after his long stint in Columbus and a brief stopover in Toronto. Yeah. Where does he fit in, and what does the picture look like for anyone else who was brought in during free agency so far?
Yeah, they signed a trio of forwards on the first day of free agency, Nick Foligno being one, and then also Eric Halla and Thomas Nasek. They're kind of depth guys, I would think. You know, Nick Foligno could be given a bigger role if necessary. He has played center in the past. He could theoretically get some time up on that second line, but ideally at this stage in his career, he's kind of a third line winger that can bring some depth up front, some leadership in the room, and just kind of give them a much needed boost in the bottom six. And the same can be said for Hala and Thomas Nasek as well. The Bruins really lacked that bottom six depth this past year specifically, and it will give some of their younger guys perhaps some motivation to kind of ramp up the internal competition as well. So with respect to Foligno, it really seems like Patrice Bergeron had a hand in luring him to Boston. He reached out and just talked to him about the kind of locker room they have, what they're looking for. He's prepared, it seems like, to play anywhere necessary. But if they're relying on him to fill Krejci's shoes, maybe leadership-wise, but certainly not skill-wise. Or, you know, Krejci still had a lot left in the tank. He was playing at a very high level. Foligno probably never reached Krejci's level, and certainly at 33 won't be able to bring what Krejci had been offering up till the point that he decided to leave. So yeah, he'll be a veteran presence, great in the room, great off the ice as well, but more of a kind of a third liner at best at this point, I think.
Well, we'll close today by taking a look at the thing that I think everyone is asking the most questions about, which is what exactly is happening in net for the Boston Bruins, because Tuukka Rask is, of course, an unrestricted free agent, has not signed a new deal yet, has some medical issues that need cleaned up. So what is the outlook for him? Are you expecting him back, or is this the beginning of a new era for Boston?
I think I am expecting him to come back at some point. He is recovering from off-season surgery that will keep him off the ice or out of the lineup at least until January. So there's no real rush to get him signed at the moment. They may be kind of waiting till the season starts more into December, January, so they can, you know, offer him a fair deal, but it would also be kind of prorated against the cap for the remainder of the season. Having said that, they did sign Linus Omark to a 4-year deal that will pay him $5 million. So $5 million per season, that is. So in the event that Rask, his recovery doesn't go as they expect, or he feels like his body can't handle coming back, they do have that backup plan in net where they'll roll with Allmark and the youngster Jeremy Swayman. But I think I would be surprised if, all things being equal and he's healthy, that Rask doesn't come back at some point this season for at least one more run with this team. They might be, you know, taking a page out of the Tampa Bay Lightning playbook and keeping him fresh for later in the season. So that's not as big of a cap hit. And, you know, when they will need him most will be in the playoffs. So getting him kind of up to speed in the new year and ready for the playoffs. But there's no real rush to sign him at this point. Don Sweeney said they're remaining in constant communication. And when Tuukka is ready, you know, they'll certainly get together and see if there's a number that works for the balance of the season. And then hopefully, you know, he's back again next year as well. But it's kind of less up in the air than David Krejci's situation was, for sure. This one's more health-wise. It seems like he wants to play still. He only wants to play for Boston. So if all goes well with the recovery, I would expect him to sign, you know, sometime late this year or early in 2022.
Well, the Bruins could look like a very different team once everyone takes the ice at the start of the season. So we will keep an eye on everything that is happening there. Thank you for jumping on the show to give us the latest updates about Boston. For people who want to know more, where can they find you and your show out there online?
Yeah, so Locked On Boston Bruins is available wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow on Twitter at LO Boston Bruins. On Instagram, it's Locked On Bruins, and I am at Ian C. McLaren on both platforms if people want to look me up there.
We end things today with the Carolina Hurricanes, so that is coming up next. First, though, Built Bar is back. It is better than ever. If you are someone who has maybe tried a Built Bar before but hasn't picked a favorite, well, there is a great thing that they have called a mixed box. So if you are trying to decide on your favorite Built Bar flavor, you can basically get a box that lets you try all of them. Built Bars are great protein bars that are healthy for you, and they taste like you're eating a chocolate bar or a candy bar or really anything sweet that isn't, you know, full of protein. You can go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So the Carolina Hurricanes went from being the internet's favorite team to raising a lot of questions with some of the moves that they made in this offseason, and we're going to take a look at those right now with Jared Ellis, host of Locked on Hurricanes. Jared, the Hurricanes did a whole bunch of stuff, so I will just let you pick where you want to start with giving the breakdown on free agency and trades and all that for the Hurricanes.
Oh, man. I mean, they definitely have made a lot of moves, some good, some not awful. I guess we can get the bad out of the way first. The more recent one is they let Dougie Hamilton walk in free agency. And that is one of the most frustrating things I've seen as a Hurricanes fan over the past 20 plus years. So because you had a top five defenseman in the NHL and he's worth every penny, but you still kept lowballing him. And now, good luck. I mean, obviously, you know, sincerely good luck to Dougie in New Jersey. I hope Trey enjoys having him up there, as much as it hurts me to say that. But the Hurricanes, they've always had an issue paying star players, because back in the day, they would hand out the fat contracts to wrong people, and now it seems they don't want to hand them out at all, even when you have people worth it, like Dougie, like Alex Nedeljkovic, and we're still waiting on Andrei Svechnikov, so that's frustrating there. But probably the most frustrating move I've ever dealt with as a Hurricanes fan through Bill Peters' tenure as the head coach, Ron Francis is the GM, Peter Karmanos as the owner, all of it was the Hurricanes signing Tony DeAngelo. They constantly talk about how they are, you know, hockey is for everyone. Everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter your beliefs, your sexual orientation, what you identify as, the color of your skin. It doesn't matter if you are welcome there, but by signing Tony DeAngelo and all of the stuff he has done and said is a complete slap in the face and middle finger to their entire fan base, but the NHL fan base as a whole. I think Sarah Sivian said it best in her article she wrote right after after they signed him. So do go read it, but she said that it's just a well-curated brand and that they don't care what your thoughts and feelings are on their moves. They're going to do what they want. And that kind of hits it on the head with not only the Hurricanes, but every professional sports team ever. They're going to do what they want. While I do believe people can change with time and maturity, Tony DeAngelo is a person that has had second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances and has every single time shown that he is incapable of changing his ways. And so I'm at the point of I will believe it when I see it. And I do not blame a single Hurricanes fan for canceling their season tickets, not buying any merchandise, not going to games, whatever. I don't blame them one bit, not watching games, any of it. Because, yeah, he is a person that kind of goes against everything I stand for as a person. And if it wasn't my job, I probably would have done the same.
You know, unfortunate that this is how people had to learn occasionally that teams are brands and the team, despite, you know, any team, despite what their cool, fun social media presence and the brand that they've built says, at the end of the day, the guys making the hockey decisions are the same guys always making hockey decisions, which is, you know, yeah. I feel like everyone knows it's true, but then when it happens to your team, you're like, oh man, that is true. This stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do encourage people, you know, keep in mind when you're voicing your opinion on social media about this, if you're against it, which most people are, remember, the social media people had nothing to do with this signing. So it's one thing to voice your displeasure, but have some sense about it, because it wasn't their decision. It was the people up in the front offices. It was Tom Waddell, Tom Dundon, and sadly, Rod Brindamore. They are the ones that made this decision on this signing for a person with extremely poor morals. I have to put that in a very PG way. And for someone that isn't the biggest difference maker on the ice mm-hmm. either. Like, you're willing to risk your reputation on a player that's not really a difference maker. He's not Dougie Hamilton, you know, someone that you should have paid. He's not him. You're risking everything for a pretty average defenseman with a little bit of offensive upside, whereas you just let a top five defenseman in the league walk in free agency and you got nothing. You didn't even do a sign and trade. You didn't even do that, where you could at least get a freaking pick out of it or something.
Seems like it's been a really frustrating time, I think, for a very large section of the Hurricanes fan base, and, you know, absolutely some baffling choices that they've made. I wanted to talk, as we close today, with one more of the baffling choices that the Hurricanes made, and that is letting Alex Nedeljkovic go to Detroit in a trade for Jonathan Bernier, who ended up not even signing with the Carolina Hurricanes. Can you just sort of give us the brief on what happened there? What was the Hurricanes thinking? And do they have goalies now?
One, I think they were on drugs or drinking when it came to that. But they lowballed him. I believe it was $1.5 million AAV. I don't remember the exact term of the contract, but he was at the 3.5 AAV for, I think, like 2 or 3 years is what he was wanting, which, if you listen to my show, that's exactly what I said they should give him, because it wasn't a massive contract. So you wouldn't be saddled with something. You know, if he didn't pan out as a starter, it's a fairly easy contract to move, and you're not going to be out a ton of money. And they were still unsure of him because, again, there was that small sample size where, yeah, he was really good, but there were some mistakes, you know, that you and I have talked about that he made and whatnot, but they were still unsure of him as a starter, and he saw himself as a starter. I think the Hurricanes made a very big mistake here. I think they should have given him what he wanted. Heck, you look at Detroit, he wanted 3.5 and he took 3, so he would have been willing to take a discount. So you could have done that and still brought in your veteran goaltender that you're wanting, whether it be Freddie Anderson from Toronto or Antti Raanta from Arizona. Like, you know, if you only got one of those guys and kept Ned, all right, I like it. You know, you got a veteran goaltender to help you win now, and then you have a goaltender for the future. That was kind of what they needed, because the Hurricanes have struggled for kind of the better part of 10 years, you know, kind of ever since Cam Ward left his prime and started getting hurt a lot and having to play hurt and all that stuff. They've been struggling to find a true long-term solution. And then you had found that, and then you traded it away. So that's very frustrating. And now you have Raanta and Anderson, who, like I said, if you just had one of them and Ned, all right, not bad. But now you have both those guys, which I believe it was Anderson is the one you paid, where you could have used that money for Ned. You have two goalies on the wrong side of 30, and they're both very injury prone. So that definitely worries me, because when was the last time either of these guys had a full healthy season? You know? And the Hurricanes don't have the goalie depth in their farm system, AHL, ECHL, all that stuff. They don't have the same depth that they used to. I mean, they have some talented guys, but not guys that are ready for the NHL yet. It's very frustrating, to say the least. I mean, I never got to wear my Alex Nedeljkovic jersey to a freaking game. It came 2 months after I ordered it. It came shortly before the Calder got announced, and I've ordered it once, the day Calder got announced. But that's it. I never even got to wear it to the game. You know, thankfully, you know, the Hurricanes were able to re-sign Jordan Martinook, because he is really some of the biggest glue that keeps that locker room together. You know, he's not, you know, a guy that lights up the score sheet or anything like that, but you know, he's a really physical player, and his off-ice leadership that he learned from Shane Doan out in Arizona, yeah, he's brought that over to Raleigh, you know, in his entire tenure here, and he's going to be vital in this locker room this year, along with Jacob Slavin, Jordan Staal, and Sebastian Aho. But the fact that we were able to keep Marty, I think, is one good thing that has happened this offseason, to end on a positive note. And plus, you know, the little girl, Emma, you know, that little relationship that they have, you know, that can continue. So, you know, to end on a positive note, it was great that we were able to keep Jordan Martinook around. He even took a little bit of a pay cut to stay here because it's where he wants to be.
That at least is one great thing for the Hurricanes and their fans to look forward to this year. For people who want to hear more about all the moves the Hurricanes are making and what that means for the team, where can they find you and your show online?
Well, they can obviously find the Locked on Hurricanes podcast on any streaming platform. It'll be on the same one that whatever you're listening to this one is on. And you can find it on Twitter and Instagram at @LO_Hurricanes. And you can find myself on Twitter at @JaredEllis_96.
All right. Thank you so much for joining the show. And I hope all the rest of the moves the Hurricanes make are just nice and chill.
Yeah. I mean, they're making a bunch of depth signings, but the one I want them to make, they're not making it. They need to bring Eric Staal home.
We'll keep an eye on that one as we get into the offseason. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
That is it for today. Thank you so much to Trey, Ian, and Jared all for joining the show today to talk about the latest news with their teams. Make sure you come back tomorrow and every day this week for more Locked On NHL to get the greatest hockey content right in your favorite podcast feed of choice. You can find this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. I'm on there at Right Said Sarah, so give us a follow, say hello, let us know what you want to hear about on this show. Now that we're done here, head over to Locked On Bets, because betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.